The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
And welcome back to Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith in for Mike Greenberg, coming to you live from the Seaport and brought to you by Chase. And let us get right to it, because it is time to get up with the Patriots. Cam Newton returning to practice, but is he returning to the top spot, or is this Mac Jones's team now? We'll answer that question. Plus, Aaron Rodgers says his championship or bust in Titletown, but can even a Super Bowl convince the MVP to stay in Green Bay? And speaking of eventually wanting a title, the Bears, that's what they want. Their offense, they say, is ready to take off. But who should be the pilot? That and a lot more as we get up. But right now, we want to bring you to breaking news, and it comes out of New Orleans with the Saints. Adam Schefter tweeting this morning, Jameis Winston has been named the Saints' starting quarterback and will make his first start for New Orleans on opening day versus the Green Bay Packers, per sources. Winston, as you recall, has a 28-42 record in five seasons as the Bucs starting quarterback. But Jameis Winston, look at RC.
What is it?
Look, his dreams came true. So happy. And Dan Graziano, look, this has been Jameis Winston. He went there with the hopes of eventually starting, and Drew Brees moved on, and now it's come true.
Yeah, I was at Saints training camp a couple of weeks ago, and I asked Sean Payton what was his timetable for making this decision. At the time, he said he didn't have one, but he wanted to see both guys play in some preseason games. Well, he saw Jameis Winston play on Monday night, and it seems to have had an impact. We don't know exactly what went into the decision, but there's no question that the performance he had in this second game was a part of it. Look, this is a guy that has been in their system for more than a year now. He knows the offense. The question, of course, is always going to be with Jameis, can they iron out the turnovers? We won't know that till we see the real game start, but obviously the Saints have achieved some level of confidence that he can do that.
And it's a real credit to him, RC. This is a guy who went from being pushed out and seemingly in Tampa Bay, went, played back up in New Orleans, and now he gets his time. Your prayers have been answered, RC. What do you think?
I'm just emotional, Ryan, you know? it's been a long, hard road. I just remember when we were with Tampa, we went down there and we ate W's, you know, and then there was like the fight thing with like Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore, and you know, we throw the touchdown in the playoffs, and I mean, no, I'm just playing. No, I think this is a good thing, and the reason it's good is because I think it's the best thing for the New Orleans Saints. I thought what we saw against Jacksonville was the best thing for them. They can now push the ball down the football field. Sean Payton can now run the offense as he's always run it, quick timing passing, but now you add the big play in the play action game. And Taysom Hill gets to go back to doing the things that he does so well, which is special teams, playing H-back, playing tight end, being the wildcat quarterback. This is best case scenario for the New Orleans Saints, and I believe without Michael Thomas, for whatever stretch they have to be, this gives them the best chance to win with the defense that we all know is going to be top-notch. I'm excited to see what Jameis Winston is as a starting quarterback for the Saints. I'm also excited to see that Sean Payton made the right decision and the best decision for this team.
All right, you mentioned the best chance to win, but Dan, you mentioned if they can cut down on the turnover. Right. So, Ninko, do you think that Sean Payton can make Jameis Winston into this quarterback that, yes, is explosive, as we've already seen, but can cut down on those turnovers to lead this Saints really to having title chances?
Yeah, well, he's going to have to, because Sean Payton won't put up with throwing 30 touchdowns and 30 picks. So I think that he's going to coach him up and put him in the right situations, get the ball out of his hand quickly. Look, Monday night, I was shocked. I was watching that game. I was like, wow, was that a heck of a throw? Then he threw another one. I said, whoa, like this dude is bombs over here, just throwing them down the field. And that's something that we haven't seen with the Saints. We know that Drew was amazing in controlling that offense and putting the ball where it needs to be, but he could never really push it down the field. That wasn't something that was in his game. So when I was seeing that from the Saints, I said, okay, this is what Sean Payton really wants to do. He wants to be able to air it out a little bit, but then also dink and dunk and get the ball down the field smart and effectively. So I think that Sean Payton's going to make sure that those interceptions are not an issue, because if they do start to creep up, that's going to be a problem for this team. Jameis is going to have to take care of the football. That's number one as the quarterback. Take care of the ball.
A lot of this is about the capability, though, to do things that they haven't seen. Our research department earlier this week had a stat. Both of the touchdown passes he threw Monday night traveled at least 40 yards in the air. The Saints have had two such touchdown passes total over the past two regular seasons. So he's going to be able to do stuff with Jameis Winston that he hasn't been able to do even with Drew Brees the last couple of years.
Yeah, and RC, that's the kind of explosive offenses teams like right now. But the potential of turning the ball over a lot, I wonder if that happens, do we see a switch here? I mean,
You know what, Ryan? I hate that as the host, you don't remember when I said the exact same thing that Dan Graziano just said, but I just didn't say it because I didn't have the research people and we didn't talk about this. It's the first thing I said, guys. But no,
because Dan says it.
Because Dan's in studio, he's all professional. I think, you know, it's like I said in my tweet though. You have to cut away the turnovers. You can't win football games that way. We saw it with Jameis Winston in Tampa. We've also seen it with Daniel Jones in New York. And I do believe that Sean Payton has such an affinity for Taysom Hill. And now you don't know if it's Trevor Siemian, if it's in book, who will be the second guy. But I think that if Jameis Winston doesn't play well, if this team isn't winning, which we're so used to seeing the New Orleans Saints do under Sean Payton, there could be a change. You have to remember, people are going to have a perception and a preconceived notion that Jameis Winston turns the ball over. So every time we see one, it's going to tighten up a little bit. Jameis Winston has to protect the ball, especially early.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't want to see this guy succeed. It is very good to see him ascend to that position. We'll see how it goes. So that's one quarterback position controversy, I would say, that's been put behind us. So we move on to this quarterback battle. We start with the Patriots quarterback competition here. Neither Cam Newton nor Mac Jones was awesome in the preseason opener, but Jones was more aggressive with an average pass distance of 7 yards compared to 0.3 for Cam. But a different story week two. Newton went 4 for 4 on throws of at least 20 yards in the air distance. Cam's completion percentage was also 25% above expectation. Now this week, a misunderstanding on COVID-19 protocols forced Newton to miss 3 days of practice. The result, Jones has seen extended work with the first team offense. And here's Mike Reese on how Cam did in his return to practice yesterday.
But it was Cam in this practice yesterday, the first quarterback through all the drills. He led a touchdown drive, and then interestingly, Ryan, after practice, it looked like Cam was out on the field with all his teammates around him. Maybe he had something to say to them at that time, a reminder of his presence back on the field.
Okay, now Nick, you were at Patriots practice this week. What did you learn from watching Mac Jones, though?
I was impressed. I was very impressed with what I saw from Mac Jones. And I'll talk about 7-on-7. I came in, watched 7-on-7. He made a beautiful pass down the sideline for a wheel route. He also made a pass where it was low, a little bit out of the reach of the running back, so he was mad at himself, slapped himself in the head. Then he threw a beautiful pass to Hunter Henry, low on the goal line, ran over to him, fixed his shoulder pads. So the intangibles and the things that I'm hearing coming out of that building are, number one, he's impressive understanding the offense. I was listening to Brian Hoyer speak after yesterday's practice, and he said that he has never seen a young player come in and understand this offense so quickly. And they'll be talking, and Mac will say, yeah, I got it. And he doesn't even think he's got it. He'll go out there and he'll execute it. So I think the intangibles and his ability to understand this offense so quickly is the most impressive thing. And maybe RC can get me into the Steelers training camp. I know he's got some pull over there as well. sorry, RC. You can't come with me to the Patriots camp, all right? But maybe I can come with you.
I respect that.
But, RC, we look at this, right? Mike gave us the perspective on Cam. Mm-hmm. Ninko gives us the perspective on Mac Jones. So based on what you're hearing, and as you watch this thing changing different ways day to day, mm-hmm. who do you think has the lead in getting the starting job week one?
You know, I think Cam Newton has the lead because that's the way it started. And I don't necessarily know if any guy, at least from my estimation and what I've been able to study, have actually lost a job or lost any ground. But we know that Mac Jones is going to be the quarterback of the future. And that quarterback could be as early as week four. I mean, that future could be as early as week four, as early as week five, or later on in the season if Cam Newton is playing well and this team is winning. Bill Belichick has a luxury. He has the luxury of knowing that Cam Newton is very capable because we've seen that from him early on in last season before he tested positive for COVID, and obviously throughout this preseason. But he also knows that he has Mac Jones waiting in the wings, and he does have those intangibles that Brian Hoyer has talked about. He has picked up the offense extremely well, and he's a dude who understands leadership after playing under Nick Saban. And in the end, we also know, we just saw on film, Rob Ninkovich's favorite play from Mac Jones, which is running up the stairs earlier than anyone else. And so as long as he continues to do those things, he'll be ready to be the quarterback of the future. But week one, it's Cam Newton.
He's got jokes this morning. Krause, you know what I find so interesting about this is that Cam Newton is out for 3 days, and Mac Jones, it just seems like his ability to take over this job has grown by leaps and bounds, at least from what we're seeing. How has Cam's absence affected this quarterback battle as you see it?
Yeah, it's got the potential to affect it in a way that I don't think people fully grasp. The reason Cam Newton was away from the team was not because he necessarily did something wrong. It's because he went afoul of the COVID protocols, and he was treated as an unvaccinated player. I don't personally know if he's vaccinated, but based on him having to miss these days, it's a good guess that he's not. Because of that, unvaccinated players this year are far more likely to have to miss days and miss games as a result of violating COVID protocols than vaccinated players are. And if you're trying to decide in a close competition, and if you think the kid is ready, then you ask yourself, do I want to risk waking up on a Sunday morning and finding out that my quarterback that I practiced with all week isn't available for the game because he's an unvaccinated player and the other guy's not?
What do we always hear on this show? The best ability in the league is availability, and that could end up being an interesting situation as this plays out in New England. All right, guys, let's turn to baseball and the streak of the night. Make it a dozen, ask the Yankees, 12 in a row. That's what they're going for. They took on the A's last night, top second, scoreless game. Giancarlo Stanton doing what they brought him there to do, crushing the fastball to dead center field. Third time Stanton has homered in three consecutive games as a Yankee. They would go up 2-0 early. On to the third, and that's Joey Gallo. 3-2 count with a bomb to right center field. His 30th of the year. Yankees up 6-0. Now, take it to the top of the nine. This one got some drama because the A's fought back to tie it at 6. Aaron Judge at the plate. Two outs, runner on third. He comes up, and he hits that one. Cutter to right field. Drops for a base hit. Yankees back on top, 7-6. And they are in the driver's seat for Aroldis Chapman, coming in for the save. Tying runner on first, two outs. Matt Olson grounded a second, victory sealed. Yankees take it 7-6. That is 12 in a row for the Bronx Bombers, hitting their stride at just the right time. 12 in a row is the longest Yankee win streak since they won 13 straight in 1961. That team won the World Series. Now, over the last 100 years, this is the Yankees' ninth win streak of 12-plus games. They reached the World Series in 7 of the previous 8 seasons, winning it all 5 times. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers says this is title town, so it's championship or bust. So, would a Super Bowl be enough to keep the MVP with the Packers? We'll answer that. Plus, Tom Brady, he's saying he feels better than ever. Will this season end with another title, or will we finally see the GOAT see a decline? Coming up on Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up and time to run the Hurry Up with Dan Graziano. Dan, get us started with the Bills.
Bills receivers Isaiah McKenzie and Cole Beasley were each fined for COVID-19 protocol violations. We know this because they tweeted about it. Both have been clear that they are not vaccinated, don't want to be vaccinated, and the league is going to come down hard on unvaccinated players, especially this year as it pertains to the COVID protocols. Ryan Tannehill, the Titans quarterback, is among nine Titans players and coaches who have tested positive for COVID-19. Now, Tannehill has said he is vaccinated, which means he could come back to the team if he tests negative twice with 24 hours in between them. He doesn't have to miss the 5 or 10 days unless he is showing symptoms. So we'll keep an eye on that, and hopefully the issue with the Titans starts to slow down. Today's Run the Hurry Up has a theme, unfortunately. This is about COVID. The NFLPA has proposed that vaccinated players be tested every day. Right now it's every 14 days. The league has countered with a proposal that would test them every 7 days. The union doesn't really love that, but they're in a negotiation to try and get to where they want it. They just want to be able to have as much information as possible about how the virus is getting into facilities and what it's doing once it's there. So still some stuff to be worked out on that front.
Yeah, these testing procedures, still a work in progress. All right, let's go back on the field to Green Bay we go. Aaron Rodgers entering his 17th season with the Packers, a season many expect to be his last. Now, Rodgers was asked about the state of the team in 2021. Listen to what he had to say.
Look, I think we all know what's at stake, and I talked about that a little bit the other day about perspective and how important that perspective is. To focus on this season and enjoy, you know, the most out of this season, because there are a lot of unknowns. So we're just going to enjoy this season. It's title town. It's championship or disappointment just about every year.
That's the point I want you to listen to. Championship or disappointment every year. Wow. Ninko, is Aaron Rodgers gone even if it is championship in Green Bay this season?
Yeah. What's changed? I mean, come on. If he wins a Super Bowl,
say, yeah,
if he wins
yeah.
a Super Bowl, see you later. If I win a Super Bowl, thank you, I'm leaving. If they don't win a Super Bowl, see you later, bye-bye, I'm going somewhere else. So we know that this relationship here is stressed from the GM to the quarterback, to them going and getting love, to the head coach sitting there like, please, Aaron, come back. Like, Aaron Rodgers is gone. It's win it this year. It doesn't matter. Lose it this year. He's gone.
See, but that's so tough, though, if you're Green Bay, Ryan. Like, RC, what can they do to keep him in Green Bay if even a championship wouldn't keep him in Green Bay?
Hey, listen, man, I don't know. Guys, we've been asking this questions and about Aaron Rodgers all offseason, and we all just swore that he wasn't going to go to camp, and he showed up at camp the first day with Kevin on the front of his shirt. So I truly don't know. Maybe they can fix it. Maybe they have conversations after this season, or they win the Super Bowl, and he wants to try to get one or try to get two back-to-back. Aaron Rodgers is making all of these decisions based on what he feels, based on his emotion. These aren't things that we can figure out contractually. These aren't things that can be mended just because you want to work with a guy. Aaron Rodgers is going to make his decision based on what's best for him. That is what we've seen. The Green Bay Packers found a way to give him some of the things that he wanted in order to get him to play this year. I believe this is going to be a year-by-year thing. He's going to evaluate the relationship, see if it works for him, and if it does, he'll stay there. If not, he's gone. And he's shown that he's okay with not being in Wisconsin.
You know, Dan, there's another thing I think about here is, and I know he's saying it's championship or disappointment, but is there a world in which Green Bay is doing stuff? You have your ear close to the ground with organizations like this. Is there a world where they're doing things to say, hey, this is what we need to do to bring him back, whether we win a championship or not?
I think the focus is all on this year, mm-hmm. from his perspective and from the teams. I remember when, right before he showed up for camp, he and Davante Adams had that post, the Last Dance post. And when he showed up for camp, I was texting with some sources. I asked somebody, I said, he sounds like he's really into this whole Last Dance analogy. And the response I got was the word obsessed. So I think Aaron sees himself as sort of the Jordan in that analogy. And that would mean that he's gone after this year. Now, I don't think there's a 0% chance that he's back in Green Bay next year. But I think the percentage chance that he's back next year is probably in the single digits. I don't know what it would take,
Dan.
But I don't think the door is 100% shut.
Go ahead, Ryan.
As someone who has watched The Last Dance 17 and a half times, I know this. The one thing that happened on The Last Dance is that Jerry Krause didn't want everybody back. Jerry Krause didn't want to do everything to keep things as they were in Chicago. Michael Jordan said, I will give it another run if you give me the things that I need. It seems like Brian Gutekunst is looking at this and said, I may do that. You know, the contract was the first step toward that. We go out and get Randall Cobb. Whether Randall Cobb is or is not the best slot option, I'm not really sure why we keep showing that play from the Super Bowl. I don't want to talk anymore. Never mind. I don't want to be a part of the Dame show. I'm done.
I noticed the same thing.
I had something to say, and now I don't have nothing to say.
Why do they
come
do it
on
to you, man?
I don't know. I don't understand it, bro.
Like, I mean, how long does this have to be? You know, y'all got Swaggoo getting outrun by RG3 on his first day of work. All that Swaggoo is done for this show, and y'all just go put him out there for RG3? That man ain't got no stripes. And then I come on the show, y'all don't get to me until like 14 minutes in the show. Y'all let Sam Acho talk about Joe Burrow. Yeah. Dan Graziano is still in my stats, is still in my takes, and nobody. And then y'all show the film
Aaron Rodgers
again?
Level airing of the grievances.
Oh, no.
Going
I won't.
Right here.
RC, I won't let it happen. I will make a personal plea to the producers.
Listen,
can we show
Jerry
RC
Krause
making plays?
Jerry Krause, can we I'm not talking to you no more. I'm not talking to you no more, Jerry Krause. Freaking done, man. I'm done.
All right, let's bring it back to
I really went off the rails.
Can we get something to make Ryan smile at least? Well, it's an Aaron Rodgers thing, but Ryan, trust me, RC, we got your back. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what you're missing out on if Aaron Rodgers leaves your team. Ooh. I can't get enough of these things.
Oh, practicing the Hail Mary.
I can't get enough.
Yeah.
Look at how brilliant that is.
I don't think people understand how hard this is and how accurate Aaron Rodgers is, how easy that this flows for him. Dude is just different. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. He's the best football player, the best quarterback I've ever played against, and that includes Tom Brady. There is nothing you can do with dude when he's dialed in, when he's locked in. We played some of the best football defensively we had ever played in that Super Bowl, and it did not matter. When we talk about generational talents, when you talk about dudes that's different, that dude's different.
He is.
Do we have any tape of that Super Bowl?
No, stop. We won't go there. Ninko, how can you let this guy go? We got to go.
All right, first of all, I'd like to say I can make it rain. I can throw it in that net. I can make yards out of a problem.
No, you can't.
Second of all, RC. Hey, y'all go pull up when Aaron Rodgers juked me and I missed him and I literally fell on my face. Like,
show that
it
one.
It happened. So, but yeah, pull it up. Pull it
show
up.
That
I, was in, I was in mirror coverage. I was in mirror coverage. He scrambled to the right. I went to go get him. He gave me a pump and a little da-da, and I went, oh, and I fell. And everyone was laughing at me because he ran for a first down. So, listen, it happens to us all if you're on the field. But guess what? Those other guys, they don't have any highlights because they didn't play.
I have no idea why you just brought that up to our producers, but you just did.
The man
coming up, Ryan Clark's greatest plays on defense. No, it's Dak Prescott. He's back off the pitch count. Does that make the Cowboys a top five offense? We'll see when we come back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back with you on Get Up, and let's get to them Cowboys and Dak Prescott, who this week ran through some team drills, something he hadn't done since July 27th. Yesterday on First Take, our guy Sacho interviewed Deion Sanders, and here's what the coach had to say about expectations for them Cowboys.
That division is garbage. That division is horrible. So if you win the division, what are you going to win after that? A trip to get beat down? What is that? It's only about three or four or five teams that can really win it all. They're not one of those teams, but you never know what could happen because of what Tom Brady did with Tampa Bay last year. Tom Brady gave everybody hope, man. He really did. He made everyone believe, hey, man, you can do this. But hey, everybody don't have a Tom Brady.
So there's hope, Dan.
There's always hope.
Right? So how did they fulfill this hope in Dallas to be those that group of four or five teams that's in the conversation to win it?
The defense has to get better, right? I mean, that's that. So they draft Michael Parsons, the linebacker, in the first round. And, you know, every review we've heard of him all offseason has been glowing, and to the point where they're kind of building defense around him as a central figure. So that's part of it. You know, but look, the offense should score points. The offensive line is back healthy. It's not just Dak, who missed chunks of last year. Tyron Smith, the left tackle, he had some procedures done this offseason that addressed some stuff that had been lingering for years. Still only 30 years old, even though he's going into his 10th season in the league. Ezekiel Elliott, by all accounts, determined to make up for last year. So there's a lot of reasons to think positively about the Cowboys. Of course, the problem is they just haven't delivered on it in so long. We have to see it before we really believe it.
And that's part of the thing, RC. It's a lot of what-ifs with these Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And the what-ifs start with Dak Prescott and the feeling that he's not coming into the season 100% healthy.
Yeah, you know, that's scary. When you have a guy like Dak Prescott that means so much to this team, not only for his on-field play, but because of his leadership, because of the confidence that he gives this team. And we saw that with him out later on in last year, that they need Dak Prescott, but they need him healthy. They need to protect him. You need to understand, if you're Kellen Moore, how do we make sure we keep Dak clean, keep him in clean pockets, and keep him in advantageous situations? And that's what I believe they're going to do. Ezekiel Elliott is back healthy. Ezekiel Elliott is back. It's skinny Zeke instead of chunky Zeke. And now you have Tony Pollard. You have the Amari Coopers. You have CeeDee Lamb, who's a true number one. I think Dak Prescott is going to have a good year, but they're going to have to work him into that. Let's not put everything on his shoulders right away. Let's start with smart football. Allow Dak to acclimate himself. Allow Dak to get some of those throws in that he missed throughout training camp because of the shoulder. And then once he's rolling, that's when you can say, okay, Dak, show me why we gave you $140+ million.
I love that thought process, RC, but Ninko, I look at this team and I say, if they start going down, if the defense starts giving up a lot of points, what has been their trend? Their trend is, okay, Dak, we're putting it on your shoulders. And Dak, there was the talk about McCarthy calling him a caged lion. So how do you protect a Dak Prescott in a situation like that when you know he wants to go out there and be the man and win the game?
Well, look, he's got to have that shoulder back to 100%. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important thing for that team. His shoulder has to be ready to complete 17 full games, which, look, when you don't play a preseason, you're not out there taking those reps. You can do as many mental reps as you want, but getting under center and actually being on the field is so vital to understanding the timing and getting the timing and understanding the cadence, the receivers, the linemen, getting off on your cadence. That all matters. So it's going to be vital that week one he is ready to go, and then they can get into practice and get into a rhythm, because they're going to need that shoulder to be ready to go. Their defense has to be great. They have to have a running game. Zeke's going to be eaten this year. Last year it was Cap'n Crunch and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. This
Cinnamon
year
Toast just Crunch is a superior. That's a superior cereal now. That's a superior cereal.
Yes.
I
would eat a whole box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is insane. Now he's eating oatmeal plain, no sugar, okay? Yeah. So now he's ready to go. So they're going to have to have him running hard this year, that's for sure.
Fiber One. You made me feel gross to say that. Fiber, no disrespect on Fiber One.
Yeah.
No disrespect.
Got to do what you got to do.
What's that?
Well, guys, Heineken Rivalry Week rolls on tonight with a doubleheader. We start at 6:30 Eastern with Columbus and Cincinnati. Then it's the battle for Florida with Orlando City and Miami. It's going to be a good one. Both matches are available on ESPN Deportes and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. All right. It's time for a segment we call Ask Sacho. Ask Sacho, or however you want to say it, where our friend Sacho answers questions at home that you submitted on Twitter. So here's the first one for you, my friend. Wayne asks, is this the year that Brady finally starts to decline?
Wayne, phenomenal question. I'll give you a better answer. Absolutely not. Tom Brady will be better this year than he was last year. We saw Tom Brady struggle a little bit early last season. His first three games threw less than 300 yards, and all of a sudden, Tom Brady got comfortable with the offense, with this very difficult offense, Bruce Arians' offense, and then he went and won a Super Bowl. I don't care about his age. He eats avocado ice cream. he'll be fine.
Jason's up next. He asked, with Dak Prescott back at practice, do you think that the Cowboys will still be a top five offense in the NFL this season?
Absolutely do, and it's more than just about Dak. We obviously talked about it. Dak is back at practice, and Dak is back healthy. But also, you've got a healthier Zeke. He lost about 15 pounds. You got a healthy offensive line. You got a defense that was really poor and porous, and now they've turned healthy and strong because of Dan Quinn. And so, yes, the defense will be better, which will help out the offense. Dak will be better because he's back healthy again. And I think the Cowboys are going to be a top five offense this season.
All right. And our friend Cuffy Von Cohort wants to know which of the rookie QBs between Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, or Jones wins a game first this season.
If only Greeny were here, because this is the first time I'm going to give some Jets some love. It's going to be Zach Wilson. So he's obviously going to start, as will Trevor Lawrence. The other two quarterbacks on that list, really three, are all being benched so far. And so Zach Wilson's going to get that first win. Jacksonville looked it bad. People say they looked it bad. They didn't just look bad. They looked it bad. And I think Zach Wilson is a phenomenal quarterback. He's going to get the Jets a win early in the season.
How long will it take?
I'll give him the first 4 weeks. He'll get a win in the first four
That's
weeks.
That's not bad. Give you some hope, Jets fans. There you go. Now, speaking of hope, Bears fans have a lot of hope, right? And the Bears preseason opener. Talking about rookie quarterbacks, Justin Fields went 2 for 6 with three and outs in his first three drives, so that was not so hopeful for them. But after that, he went 12 of 14, 132 yards, leading Chicago to 17 points. Now, Fields followed that up with a mediocre 9 for 19 performance against the Bills for just 80 yards, although he did collect a game-high 46 rushing yards on 4 carries. As for Chicago's preseason finale against the Titans tomorrow, Fields is going to start, but it's Andy Dalton getting the nod for week one, taking on the Rams on the road. Now, this is where it starts to get interesting, because Matt Nagy, entering his fourth season as the Bears head coach, said this to the Chicago Sun-Times. When I first got here, I explained to everybody that this offense, it takes a few years to get going. I feel like we're at that spot right now. We've got some guys that have been on this team for 2, 3, 4 years, and they know the offense as well as I do. When you have that, and you have a guy like Andy, and these quarterbacks that come in and understand it, that's where it gives me confidence. And the Bears offense is going to start by taking a big test. So that confidence is going to be tested. Taking on the Rams, finished number one in defense in yards and points allowed last season. ESPN's FPI gives Chicago just a 29% chance to win that game. The Bears are favored by FPI in just 2 of their first 7 games. And they also face the Packers and the Bucks in that stretch. And I always like it as we bring everybody back in when we talk about the schedule. And RC, I'll talk to you on this one, because we talk about that schedule and the tough stretch. Nagy says Dalton's going to start first. People say that doesn't go well. You put in Justin Fields. But you got that tough meat of the schedule after week 4, week 5, and you're going to put Justin Fields in that? So what do you make of what Matt Nagy is doing with these quarterbacks and whether or not he's still evaluating what he does with the position?
Well, you know, I don't necessarily think that it's a good thing when you say this offense takes years to be good, or this offense takes years for people to understand. Because what happens is football is not a year's thing. Football is a this year thing. And when your quarterback does change, and now it's Andy Dalton, or then it could be Justin Fields, you don't have time for them to get acclimated because your job is on the line. You had years or 2 years with Mitchell Trubisky, and that didn't come to fruition. And so if I'm the Chicago Bears, I understand starting Andy Dalton week one because you want to see him live in games. You want to see, does he give me an opportunity to win with this defense, with this stable of running backs, with Allen Robinson on the outside? But I think as soon as you know, no, actually right before you're even 100% sure Andy Dalton can't win the game, you put Justin Fields in. That's the reason you drafted him at 11. You understand that you needed something different. He is different. Give Andy Dalton the first start, but don't be scared to yank that chain.
And Dan, look, you want Andy Dalton to succeed. There's nobody in the NFL I don't want to succeed. But the thought is that once things don't go well, he's going to get pulled. Have you heard anything about when Nagy, if things don't go well, might turn to Fields?
Well, they're not thinking that way, right? Because, like, the idea is, again, the parallel that Matt Nagy's working off of is the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes.
It's not the same.
When they were able – I understand that. Excuse me. I understand that. The parallel he's working off of is that. But – the Chiefs started 5-0 and stayed in first place the whole year. If the Bears aren't going to do that, we all know sitting here that at some point he's going to have to make a change. Mm-hmm. But Matt Nagy's not sitting there going, oh, you know, 4 games in, 3 games in. I mean, he's expecting to win the games, or else I don't know why he's why he's doing his job. Mm-hmm. But so I don't know. That's why I think you rip the Band-Aid off and play the rookie. But I mean, that's me.
Yeah, Sacho, you jump in.
Well, no, that's a great point. I mean, the point that Dan, you just made is that Matt Nagy believes his team is going to win. And I believe that this team is going to win. I believe that the defense
with
of the
Dalton,
Bears,
you believe they're
with
going to
Andy
win.
Dalton early in the season, right? RC had a good point. Don't be scared of let Andy Dalton get his opportunity, but don't be scared to make a change. I don't think that Matt Nagy or the Bears are scared to make a change. I think what they believe, what no one's talking about, is they're better than anyone's giving them credit for.
Sure.
Their defense is going to be back towards that 2018 Chicago Bears defense, not the 2019 really the 2020 Chicago Bears defense because of Sean Desai, the defensive coordinator, who was there in 2018, who was Vic Fangio's right-hand man. And so they believe with Sean Desai and that defense, with Allen Robinson, with the running attack behind David Montgomery, they will be able to get through those first 5, 7, even 10 games, really 9 games of the season, and then evaluate come bye week, what are we going to do next? If that's the time to make the move, then make the move then. But no one's talking about how the Bears think they're better
so
than anyone's giving them credit
for. So week 10 or week 11, Ninko, do you think they should wait that long to make the decision?
Well, listen, they gave Andy Dalton $10 million guaranteed. Last time I checked, this thing is it's about money, too. So you're not going to pay him $10 million to just sit and not do anything. They're going to make him go out there and lose the job. So, listen, Nagy is not going to have a job if Andy Dalton goes out there and is terrible this year and they lose. He won't be there next year if they lose. So he's not going to be there. Nagy understands this is the year for him. If he's not winning this year, he's gone. I would go put the rookie in. You drafted him high. I know you paid them $10 million. I know if I paid $10 million to somebody, they better do their job. But I don't think that that's going to be the case. They're going to make him go out there in the first early parts of the season. If he struggles, yank his ass out.
Dang. Dang.
He just went there. Well, here's what I'll say to that. You said the last time you checked it's about money, and it is. But it's also about winning, right? Seattle, Matt Flynn, paid him a bunch of money. They get Russell Wilson, and they put him in the game immediately. And I know because I was playing for the Cardinals then. I had to face Russell Wilson, and he was a beast. Justin Fields will also be a beast. But the thing is, Andy Dalton gives a bridge. We talk about these bridge quarterbacks. He gives the Bears a bridge, and Justin Fields gives the Bears hope, not just for this season, but also
Sacho.
For the future. Yo,
Sacho.
What up? Yo.
Bridges fall, man. Bridges fall. Ain't you heard of the London Bridge? That
Absolutely.
Bridge fell.
But they're there for a reason. They're there for a reason. They're there to fall. Let me walk over it. Fall after I walk over it.
We're coming up. Oh, my gosh. We got to get to this break. So much attention's put on the quarterback. But who will be the top 5 most impactful players in the upcoming season? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
First of all, gentlemen, good morning. We gonna get this started early. Good morning to all of y'all. Y'all look wonderful.
Welcome to the new spicy get up, y'all.
Greeny's not here. We're gonna do a Greeny thing here.
Oh.
If we can't overreact to these preseason games, then why are we watching them?
Hell yeah!
Orlovsky, I'm going to put you on the spot. Are the Miami Dolphins a playoff team this year with Tua at quarterback?
Yes.
Do the Packers win the Super Bowl this year with Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Nobody breaks it down like Orlovsky.
For the first time on Get Up, Robert Griffin III joining the team.
The first time I lined up across the field from this dude, he was ripping the Cowboys.
And there's Marcus Spears missing on the tackle.
So this is what we doing. I've been on this damn show 3 years. This is first date.
Life ain't fair. That's the bottom line.
And this is what we doing. Don't call me no more, Get Up. I'm done.
It don't matter. Like, nobody cares.
Okay, I'm out. They telling me to wrap. We gotta go. Bye.
Oh, I love it. Well, you know, Ryan Clark complained he didn't get enough time on this show today, so it's time to get RC his own segment.
With I did
the
not
most
complain
impactful
about that.
Player, NFL players heading into 2021. RC, give us your fundamental list.
Well, we're always talking about quarterbacks, so let's go away from quarterbacks. And at number five, I'm going to Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams is a flat-out dog. When you watch what this dude was able to do last year, I could see why Aaron Rodgers was the MVP. If he's matched up one-on-one, you're done. If he's matched up at double team, you are done. He is that type of big-time player, and he's playing for a contract this year. He's going to go absolutely crazy. At number four, I'm going George Kittle. Whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo, whether it's Trey Lance, Beathard, or all of the players, of quarterbacks they've had to have because Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't stay healthy, George Kittle is that dude. He's huge in the run game. In the pass game, you can't cover him, nor can you tackle him once he catches the ball. This is what the new age tight end looks like. This is like Gronk and Travis Kelce came together and they made a baby in the lab. At number three, it's Aaron Donald. And I know what you're going to say. Hey, Aaron Donald's your favorite player. You love him so much. You know that he's Superman. He can't be blocked. I know, but I'm kind of getting used to seeing it. So I'm going to just put him at number three because we know what we're getting. We're going to get MVP, not Defensive Player of the Year, but MVP caliber play. They will be up near the top of the defensive rankings again because of the light-skinned dude that is ripped up. At number two, I'm going Skinny Zeke. You heard me. Skinny Zeke, not Squishy Zeke, not Thick Zeke, not Chick-fil-A Zeke. We're talking about Zeke that can hang with Tom Brady. He is ready to ball. My man said, you know what? I wasn't right. I was fumbling the football. I wasn't carrying it the way I was supposed to, but I'm back. Wasn't no Cabo this year. It was avocados this year. Watch him eat. And at number one, Derwin James. Derwin James has been injured, but if you pay attention, he is that dude. He is one day going to be for safeties what Aaron Donald is for defensive tackles. We're going to be talking about him, and we're going to say, if you take away quarterbacks, this is the best player in the NFL. Dude was made to do this. I've only seen one other person look like this, be like this, play like this, and God rest his soul, it was my good friend Sean Taylor. Glad to see somebody else like him.
Mm-hmm, indeed. You got it there, Devontae Adams, Kittle, Donald, Elliott, and of course, RC picking defense number one. All right, let's turn to breaking news just coming in this morning to Get Up. Adam Schefter tweeting this morning, Jameis Winston has been named the Saints starting quarterback and will make his first start for New Orleans on opening day versus the Green Bay Packers, per sources. Now, Winston, as you recall, had a 28-42 record in five seasons as the Bucs starting quarterback. But RC, you had been talking about this week after week, and now it has come true. The Saints choosing a role with Jameis Winston.
I think this is a good decision, but not because you just need Jameis Winston to be the quarterback, but because Jameis Winston earned it. Jameis Winston went out and did the things you needed to see from him this preseason to say that he should be the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. Now Taysom Hill gets to be exactly who he is. You understand that you're going to be top-notch on the defensive side of the football, and I believe a good Jameis Winston, a Jameis Winston that doesn't turn the football over, gets the New Orleans Saints back into the playoffs.
Doesn't turn the football over is the key there, Dan. Do the Saints believe that they have a different Jameis Winston than the one that turned the football over a lot?
Yeah, I think one of the keys here is that he's been in their system and in their offense for over a year now. And I know that matters a lot to Sean Payton and that coaching staff, that they didn't have to teach somebody new things this training camp. So that puts him ahead of the – we won't know until he gets into games – and see whether he reverts to old habits. But the Saints have obviously some level of confidence that he won't.
Nink, can this team come out of the NFC?
Oh, yeah, they can. And I'm happy for Jameis. Listen, there's probably nothing harder than leaving a team and watching that team go and win a Super Bowl. So for him to come in, go behind Drew Brees, learn the offense, come in this year, it's going to be a completely different offense than what we've seen from the Saints. And Sean Payton, I can guarantee, is excited that he can throw the ball 50 yards downfield on some deep passes. So watch out. I think they're going to be in that division. They're going to be a team to watch.
Can't wait to see him in action. Now, Nink, I told you earlier, when you bring up stuff on this show, these producers, they are merciless. It's not me, my friend. Look at
Don't
this.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, oh, good move, there Nick. He is.
I see you, Nick.
It's
oh, shake Nick.
He did it himself.
There he is.
That's not your fault, Nick. Nick, you got blocked. That's not you. That's a good tackle. I see the stab. I see the stab, though. That's not embarrassing. Yeah. I'm okay with that, Nick. You're just playing football, keeping Aaron Rodgers in the pocket. We are not going to be upset All about right. that.
That's and you know, at least they didn't run it six times.
I was expecting worse. I was expecting worse.
I was too.
Guys,
they were being kind.
Yeah.
So think about that. Think about what we did to Marcus early on this week, what we did to me, and then Neek tells you the exact play to go get, and y'all go get that play. Hey, guys, y'all playing favorites now.
Yeah. And I'm
hard on myself.
They said they
I'm
looked for it and they couldn't get it in time to put it on air. So
we the worldwide right. we are the worldwide leader in sports.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Coming up, more resources for our producers. Also on First Take, the latest from New Orleans as the Saints named Jameis Winston as the starter. Plus, Dak is off the pitch count. So what do the Cowboys expect from their offense? First Take follows us next on ESPN.